ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट नंबर 55। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड इज व्हाट प्रह्लाद लर्न्ड इन द ओम। एतावानेव लोकेस्मे पुंसा स्वार्थः परः स्मृतः एकांत भक्तिर्गोविन्दे यत् सर्वत्र तदीक्षणा। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। In this material world, to render service to the lotus feet of Govinda, the cause of all causes, and to see him everywhere is the only goal of life. This much alone is the ultimate goal of human life, as explained by all the revealed scriptures. Purport. In this verse, the word sarvatra tadikshanam describes the higher perfection of devotional service, in which one sees everything with reference to Govinda's activities. The highly elevated devotee never sees anything unrelated to Govinda. Stavara jangama deke na deke tara murti sarvatra hoy nij ishta deva spurti. The Mahabhagavat, the advanced devotee certainly see everything mobile and immobile, but he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest in the form of the Supreme Lord. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 8.274. Even in this material world, a devotee does not see materially manifested things. Instead, he sees Govinda in everything. When he sees a tree or a human being, a devotee sees them in relationship to Govinda, Govinda Madhi Purusham. Govinda is the original source of everything. Ishvara Paramaha Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna is known as Govinda, he is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful and spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Brahma Samhita 5.1. The test of a perfect devotee is that he sees Govinda everywhere in this universe, even in every atomic particle. Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. This is the perfect vision of a devotee. It is therefore said, Narayanam ayam dhiraha pashyanti paramarthina jagad Dhanamayam lubdha kamuka kaminam kaminimayam. A devotee sees everyone and everything in relationship with Narayan. Narayana ayam. Everything is an expansion of Narayana's energy. Just as those who are greedy see everything as a source of money making, and those who are lusty see everywhere everything as being conducive to sex. The most perfect devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, saw Narayan even within the stone column. This does not mean, however, that we must accept the words Daridra Narayan, which have been manufactured by some unscrupulous person. When we actually envision Narayan everywhere, makes no distinction between the poor and the rich. To single out the Daridra Narayan or poor Narayan and reject the Daridra Narayan or rich Narayan is not the vision of a devotee. Rather, he is the imperfect vision. That is the imperfect vision of a materialistic person. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 7th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. Surely have attraction for Lord Narasimhadev. Even though ours is the path of Madhurya Ras, but we appreciate Bhivatsa Ras also. Lord Narasimhadev, you know, he exhibits greatest of the anger, which is never seen before. Nobody can even try. Such anger, but still we see that how every devotee without fail, whenever there is some danger or without any danger, they naturally call out. There is a special festive mood to celebrate the appearance of Lord Narasimhadev. It's a very contradiction, but still it can be reconciled, because within that vibhatsya, within that krodh, within that anger, there is affection also, there is love also, because the source of all emotions is the emotion of affection and love. And according to different time, place, circumstances, the Lord, according to the need, not for his own, of course he performs pastimes, but when he comes to this material world, more than his own need, he is always available to his devotees, according to the need of the devotee. Because Prahlada was supposed to be protected, and Hiranyakashipu was supposed to be seeing the power of Lord Narasingdev. So naturally Lord Narasingdev came, but he did not just come. When Lord Narasingdev came, he came with great anger. Such anger which caused great terror in the entire universal system. So this is the beauty of this incarnation. He is not beautiful from the material point of view, very fierce, but still he creates an attraction. Another point, I'll not discuss into all the details of Narasingha Leela, that will be done by Braj Bihari Prabhu in the evening. I'll just speak whatever I liked about Lord Narasingha's pastime, you know, bits and here and there. Another very interesting point, when Lord Narasingdev's pastime was spoken, Narad Muni spoke this to Yudhishthir, because Yudhishthir raised this question when he saw Shishupal's body, the soul, after Krishna chopped off his head, the soul of Shishupal entered into the Lord's body. And Yudhishthira was quite surprised. How is it possible that this Shishupal was born? When the child is born, and he cries. But Shishupal was born with, you know, blaspheming Krishna. Just imagine, what a low class. He was born with blasphemy of Krishna. Such person should have gone to hell. But how is that he has gone to... How did he go into the body of the Supreme Lord? How could he get this mukti? So then Narad Muni, hearing the excitement of Yudhishthira Maharaj, his surprise, he narrated how Krishna, however you come in touch with Krishna, this is spoken by Prahlad, Srila Prabhupada in the same canto, when Prahlad asked Lord Narasingdev that his father should be freed from all the sin. So Lord Narasingdev said, since I touched Hiranyakashipu, is already pure. He is purified. Just see, Lord Krishna has no other choice. Even if he wants to condemn somebody, he cannot. Even in his condemnation, there is benefit for the other party. The Prabhupada gave that famous lecture. Whatever Krishna does, killing or apparently bestowing benediction is all perfect. Because in conclusion, in killing or actually giving mercy, it's all mercy only. So just see, Hiranyakashipu, by some means, he angered Lord Narasingdev because he tortured Prahlad. Therefore, Lord Narasingdev came out and he didn't touch because he wanted to purify him. He touched Hiranyakashipu because he wanted to rip him off, kill him. But in that killing also, Hiranyakashipu got purified. This is what Lord Narasingdev is telling to Prahlad Maharaj. So therefore, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was surprised, and Narad Muni narrated the entire pastime, an opportunity to speak Harikatha, he could have told in one sentence. If you study this whole seventh canto of the Bhagavad, very interesting, we'll come to that also. So then, after narrating the entire story, when you hear the great story of a great devotee, the first thing is that you get inspired. Like yesterday, Krishna Chandrapu was narrating Jay Anand Prabhu's story. Very inspiring character, inspiring stories. But something else happened to Yudhishthira Maharaj. After hearing the entire pastime of Prahlad, Yudhishthira Maharaj became discouraged. In his discouragement, he said, you know, what kind of devotee Prahlad is and what kind of devotee I am? I'm not a good devotee. So this discouragement actually felt discouraged. It is not that he's exhibiting humility. From Yudhishthira Maharaj's point of view, it is honesty that I'm not a good devotee. I'm nobody. Sometimes devotees say, when we hear something very, you know, great sacrifice of devotee, it puts us in a dilemma. Hum log kuch hai nahin. But then Narad Muni is seeing the character of Yudhishthira Maharaj, he took that as humility. And he said, my dear Yudhishthir, what to speak of you not being a great devotee? Actually, that is the conclusion. This verse, Yujam Nruloke Bhata Bhuri Bhaga, is spoken twice in the seventh canto. And Narad Muni, he was so happy to see the humility of Yudhishthira Maharaj. And he said, what to speak of you not being a great devotee of Krishna? Krishna appeared for Prahlad, no doubt. But Krishna stays in your home all the time. All the time is staying in your place, Pandavas. He's everything for you. And for him, you are everything. In fact, all the great sages, they're running around looking for Krishna everywhere in the forest. But that very Krishna whom all the sages are looking, he's staying in your place. You are extremely fortunate. There is no question of you being discouraged. You are extremely fortunate. So Yudhishthira Maharaj felt good. We see that even on that level, when we are doing good in bhakti, we need encouragement. What to speak of when you are not doing good in bhakti? We need some, like I always like that story of Mahaprabhu and that fisherman. A fisherman, he was infected by Krishna Prem. As if he was touching the 1000-volt electrical power. And because of that shock, he was experiencing Krishna Prem. But what was he thinking? He was thinking that I am haunted by a ghost. He was so discouraged. He said, my business is stopped now. I will not be able to raise my family. I will not be able to feed my family members. I don't know what kind of body I have touched. And he said, when I chant Narsingha Mantra, the haunting becomes more severe. Just see, what he got was something which is very rare. Not everybody can get it. But he got it accidentally, without he knowing that I'm going to get it. He was not expecting it. He got it and he misunderstood it. And he was discouraged. And he said, this mantra is no more helping me. Sarup Damodar realized. He needs to explain in a different way. He slapped him once. No? And he said, you madman, this is not haunting of a ghost. We are actually experiencing Krishna Prem. So therefore here, Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, he naturally became very humble that I am not such a devotee. And Narad Muni encouraged him. We see that all the time. In the Gita also, Krishna told Arjuna in the 16th chapter, he defines the divine and demonic qualities. And immediately assures Arjuna, don't worry Arjuna, you are born of a divine qualities. That's one very interesting aspect. And then again, we see when Shukadev Goswami is narrating this pastime, you know, he's speaking in the 6th canto, he concluded how the Lord, in one place, that how a Lord appeared for the sake of Indra. And immediately Parikshit Maharaj became surprised. If we have heard Lord is impartial, he does not take anybody's side. You know, taking side is a dushan, is not a bhushan. Neutrality is considered as, oh, he's indifferent, he's mediators. Why you want mediators? Because mediators don't take anybody's side. They're not supposed to take anybody's side. So here Krishna is known for that. In fact, he speaks openly in the Gita. Na deshasti na mai priya. I do not take side of anybody. So here, Parikshit was very surprised. He said, how could Lord do like this? It appears that he is taking the side of the demons, taking the side of the demigods against the demons. And hearing this, Shukadeva Goswami, in fact, Parikshit said, this great doubt has come in my mind. How could Lord do this? And Shukadeva Goswami congratulated for this question. Even though one may say, how can Parikshit, such a great devotee, ask this question? Because devotees are very honest. If there is a question in their mind, they ask. They don't fake. They know, how could I ask this question? If I ask this question, it will be an offense against my very Lord. How can I raise this question? Again, in bhakti, you know, very interesting that how a devotee of the Lord, if he has something, he's very honest. Like Prabhupada, when he was in New York, when he came to New York, he felt seeing the snowfall as if it was like a whitewash. And he's openly telling, I thought it's a whitewash. Exhibiting his ignorance about America and snowfall. Then he was told, no, this is not whitewash, this is snowfall. That honesty of a devotee is very pleasing. So Shukadeva Goswami was very much appreciative of this honesty. And he congratulated Shukadeva Parikshit Maharaj, wonderful question. And then went on giving detailed philosophical discussion about how Krishna is always impartial, and how the modes, the three modes of material nature, sometime the tamogun is in prominence, therefore the tamogun is victorious over rajo and sattva, and sometimes sattva is victorious, then appears that demigods are conquering, sometimes the demons are conquering, this is continuously happening. And then Shukadeva Goswami, in fact, kind of, he said, you are asking Krishna is partial, but your grandfather asked this question. How is Krishna so magnanimous? Exactly opposite question. Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, how Krishna is partial? And here, because Parikshit saw that the demons were killed, and Yudhishthira Maharaj saw demons were killed, but beyond seeing demons were killed, he saw Krishna being merciful to the demons. So his question was, how Krishna is so magnanimous? Exactly opposite question. In fact, there only the question is answered. Parikshit Maharaj's question was answered there only. By answering this way, he proved that Krishna is not only not impartial, not only Krishna is, you know, neutral, rather Krishna is extremely magnanimous even to the demons. But then, to give evidence, we see again in the Shastra, a philosophy without illustration is very dry and boring. Whenever you need to tell something, a logical point, along with the logic comes story also. Anybody. In fact, we were doing Ramayana in Nasik. When Sita was trying to tell Ram, you know, I think you are being very cruel. You are pure in your habits. You don't lie. But one quality, which is a dangerous quality for the king, is that he becomes unnecessarily cruel. You know, this cruelty is a very dangerous quality. Especially when you have power, you become very unreasonably cruel. Making mistake is no big deal. Everybody does mistakes. If you become surprised because somebody is making mistake, if you become discouraged, if you become disheartened, if you become, you know, lose our faith because somebody is making a mistake, you know, it is not very good, because making mistake is human quality. But the quality of a leader, he punishes, but he punishes where he has a greater power to reward greater than his punishment. Otherwise, anybody punishes someone, if he doesn't have the ability to reward more than what he punishes, then that is very dangerous. Therefore, there is a natural tendency when we have power, seeing the fault, we judge and we punish severely. In fact, that's a nasty quality for a leader. And Krishna never does that. He never does it like that. In his punishment, there is great reward. So therefore, Sita was telling, you know, I think you are being cruel. Even though you have assured the sages that you'll protect them, but in their protection, you're killing demons. Then she narrated a story to prove her points. How a leader, when he has a power and powerful tool, can misuse. She told a story of a Brahmana. And Ram gave his explanation. So therefore, here Shukadeva Goswami, he proved his point philosophically, but philosophy has to be flavored with rasa, illustration. And therefore, he narrated what happened in Yudhishthira Maharaj's place, and then he brought the story of Prahlad Maharaj. It was not pre-planned. Shukadeva Goswami had not come with notes. What should I speak to Parikshit Maharaj? Which canto, which part of the devotee story I should cover? Of course, he was helpless to cover Krishna's story. Bhagavat means Krishna's pastime. But other pastimes, it was not pre-planned. It came according to how Prahlad Maharaj was asking, and therefore he narrated the entire 7th canto, which is nothing but the glories of Prahlad Maharaj. Another very interesting point is, when Prahlad asked his master, Lord Narsingdev, that you please deliver my father, and Lord said, yes, I have touched him, he is liberated. From a Siddhantic point of view, when Lord Narsingdev touches or Lord Vishnu touches, you get liberation. You don't come back to this material world. But Hiranyakashipu came back. In his next life, it is not that Hiranyakashipu went back. In fact, Prabhupada also quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, saying that whenever, according to the Lord, you know, he went to the other planets to perform devotional service. So here with Hiranyakashipu, we see from a Siddhantic point of view, you don't need to come back. But from Leela point of view, he was cursed. So what takes first preference? The curse which is given by the four Kumaras. The curse was they have to stay three lifetimes. So even though they came as Prahlada's, Hiranyakashipu came as Prahlada's father, that was his good fortune. And secondly, was touched by Lord Narasingdev, but still he did not get liberation. He had to wait two more lifetimes. So therefore one has to understand the liberation is not mechanistic. It also has a flavor of, you know, giving preference to the previous devotee. Here, Lord Narasingdev, as Vishnu, gave preference. In fact, he had agreed upon the four Kumaras. They felt, oh, we made a mistake. And Lord Vishnu said, no, you have not made a mistake. In fact, I approve of your curse and they should take birth in the material world. And again, there is so much of discussion about this, about we don't fall from the spiritual world. You know, they were just outside the gate of the spiritual world. The technical explanations are there, but the most important is that here they came down from the spiritual world. Because if Krishna wants to perform Leela, and that the Leela has to be very realistic, then in that Leela, if you bring technical understanding, then it destroys the whole flavor of bhakti and Leela. Even though it may be there, but you don't talk about it. So similarly here, one cannot question, come on, somebody may say, that Lord Narasingdev promised Prahlada that your father will be delivered, but how did he come back again and became another bigger demon? Now, Hiranyakashipu did not make the sin of kidnapping Lakshmi. He did not. He used Lord's energy in a wrong way. He misused Lord's energy. But here Ravan did a greater sin. He kidnapped the source of energy only. The energetic, the Lakshmi was kidnapped by Ravan. He was a greater sinful person. Even though less powerful, but much greater sinful person. So that means by touching Lord Narasingdev, how is that he became much greater sinful personality? That means Lord did not fulfill what he said? No, the technically he is fulfilled. But from the Leela point of view, it has to happen because previously he was cursed to go into three lifetimes. And when he came as Shishupal, you know, he almost kidnapped. Ravan could not marry Sita. And Shishupal almost he was ready. You know, she was about to be married to Shishupal. Can you imagine that Lakshmi is getting married to a demon, Shishupal? The father had agreed, the brother had agreed. The priest were performing the sacrifice. The ritual would be perfect, but from the Siddhantic point of view, the Brahmanas are as demonic as Shishupal and others for agreeing to perform this marriage. They may chant all the mantras nicely, but what is it? It's the biggest deviation. Therefore, Krishna had to come. See, even though the power of Shishupala is much inferior to Ravan, Ravan's power is much inferior to Hiranyakashipu, but the consciousness is becoming more and more condemned one. So therefore, Krishna cannot allow that to happen because Goddess of Fortune is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It can never happen. And then Shishupal continued to condemn Krishna. He said, it was my share. And Krishna came like a crow. Krishna came like a crow and lifted my share. So he could never forgive Krishna. So he became more and more condemned. But only after he was killed by Krishna as Shishupal, then he went back to Godhead. So everybody's desires were fulfilled. Prahlada's desire is fulfilled. Four Kumaras' curse is over. Lord Narayan is satisfied because his parshadas are coming back to the spiritual world. Another very interesting, you know, how Lord is, he plays a proper pastime. He does not get confused about playing his pastime. Like in the Ramayana, when Kaushalya told Ram, you should not go to the forest because I am the most important person in your life. Your father may say you have to go, but I am saying you should not go and you should follow mother's order. If you break, you are disobeying your mother. Ram said, I agree. But let me first follow father's order, then I will follow your order. So therefore, when we understand the pastime in this way, rather than getting confused, we enjoy and we get absorbed in this pastime. And here, this part of the Prahlad's pastime with Lord Narasingdev, you know, the preaching, how Prahlad was preaching so powerfully. And immediately after these two chapters, wherein he is preaching to his student friends, Lord slayed the demon, Hiranyakashipu. Lord appeared. So we can see what gives birth to Lord is preaching. When we preach Krishna consciousness fearlessly, we preach God consciousness fearlessly by practicing what we preach, then that gives rise to the Lord's appearance. Next chapter only. And very interesting how Prahlad preached to his friends. Very powerful. And the theme, every pastime has its theme. Yesterday we were discussing with some of the devotee children that there are different values in this world. There is a value of being truthful. There is a value of being dutiful. There is value of being affectionate. There is value of being compassionate. There is a value of being non-violent. But sometimes what happens, two good values, they are conflicting with each other. Should I be truthful or should I be dutiful? Should I be compassionate or should I be dutiful? Sometimes even the quality of compassion can be dangerous if it is used in a wrong place. Because if somebody is misbehaving and is not willing to change, and being compassionate to him from an external point of view is dangerous, then you have to be dutiful. If the child is misbehaving all the time and the parents are continue to be compassionate, thinking, you know, we can't hurt, violence is no good, it becomes the duty of the family to be compassionate by disciplining him. Like we give an example. Like there was a motorman, he was driving his train and there were two tracks. Every day he would drive from one track. No, it was a law. And when he was coming from his train, he saw seven children playing on that track where he's supposed to drive. If he drives on that track, and there was no chance for him to put a brake, you have to drive. And there was a junction, there was another track, which was a proper track where the train would not go usually. And one child was playing there. So the question is, what will you do? Will you drive on the track where the seven children are playing? Or to save their life, you will drive on the another track where one child is playing? So if you drive over the track where one child is playing, you kill him unnecessarily without his being faulty. And if you drive over the track where the seven children are playing, you are doing your duty, but you kill seven children. So which track will you choose? So here, the conflict of compassion and dutiful, you know, they are at loggerheads. What to do now? So therefore, sometime we have to conflict not only with the evil qualities, but the conflict also happens with the good qualities only. So here Prahlad Maharaj, you know, is teaching something which is higher than all of these qualities. If you cannot see Krishna in compassion, then forget that compassion. If you cannot see Krishna in truthfulness, forget that. What is he teaching here? The theme of this Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj's pastime, is to see Krishna everywhere. So even though Prahlad, in one sense, he rebelled against his father, he disobeyed his father. Of course, he disobeyed his father respectfully. That is another challenge. Sometimes we are supposed to disobey, but we take, wow, I got to disobey now. But we disobey in such a way that in our disobeying, there is also disrespectfulness. But Prahlad does it so nicely, he disobeys his father because father is telling something against what he cannot practice. In his disobeying, if he cannot see Krishna, he said, I cannot. I have to disobey you so that I can see Krishna. So here, the value of seeing Krishna is the best of the value. Beyond being truthful, beyond being dutiful, beyond being compassionate, beyond being, you know, simple. If you need to be complicated for seeing Krishna and doing something higher, then you have to be complex. If you need to be simple to see Krishna, therefore it is so interesting in the Bhagavatam it is explained that one who worships Krishna, all the good qualities means they are not contradicting with serving Krishna. So therefore here Prahlad is teaching a very interesting quality to his children that you should be able to see Krishna everywhere. One is to see Krishna everywhere in physical things, another is to see Krishna in every aspect of life. And that's what Prahlad is teaching. And therefore, when he starts teaching to his friends, he defies the quality of the, you know, Bheda. These people are good, that people are not good. You know, the demigods are bad and the demons are good. Whose perspective? From a demon's perspective, like Kamsa, when he was killed, everybody was happy. But Kamsa's wife and Kamsa's father-in-law, he considered as a cruel act. How could Krishna do this to my daughters? Jarasandha was very happy about this. Whose perspective that Krishna is bad from Jarasandha's point of view? Even when Krishna does something, if you have a contradictory vision, you can find faults with Krishna. So therefore, Prahlad is teaching here how to see Krishna everywhere. If you cannot see Krishna everywhere, then it's a greatest fault. And how does he narrate this pastime? This instruction to his friends is very interesting. Prahlad Maharaj is explaining that he begins with how bhakti should be taken from the childhood only. And then after speaking that, we see even though bhakti is very natural, but we need to practice it from childhood. Especially when we come to this material world. If something is natural, you don't have to endeavor. Just like if you are hungry. Nowadays, that is also a problem. People need to take medicine for, you know, having their appetite. Sleeping is natural. Even something very natural has been destroyed by the modern civilization. Even the animalistic propensities cannot be done very naturally. So, bhakti is very natural, but we need to practice so that we can get back our natural condition. And then it is explained that Prahlad Maharaj explained why bhakti is natural, because bhakti is natural because Krishna is the master of the soul and is the beloved well-wisher. The same question was raised by Parikshit Maharaj in the 10th canto when all the coward boys were stolen by Brahmaji. And Krishna became all the coward boys. And all the gopis in Vrindavan, they developed greater affection for Krishna, who appeared like their children. Much more affection they have. So he asked this question, how is it possible for them to love somebody other than their own children? Then Shukadeva Goswami said, it is not unnatural because Krishna is the soul of the soul. Very closely connected to the living entities. Living entities are very closely connected to Krishna, therefore they love Krishna. So we see it is very natural, but unfortunately when that natural affection for Krishna is taken away, we become very naturally animal. Animalistic life is very natural. When the animals, their life is so natural, they do everything according to their nature, according to their impetus. They don't use their intelligence. They use their senses. Whenever they want to eat, like we met one strange and very amusing personality, in Karjat. This man, you know, he lives in forest. He's a very educated from Bridge Candy only. Highly qualified person. Last 11 years he's living in the forest. And he doesn't sleep inside the home. He sleeps underneath tree every day. And then he said, he has seen tigers very close by. Almost like a meter or 2 meters away from him. He's casually talking. And we are afraid of dogs also. We were running away from his dogs also. He said, why are you not scared? He said, very clear, you know. The tigers, if their belly is full, they don't kill you. But how do you know that belly is full or not? So he's so confident. He has pictures of, you know, tigers being very close. He surrounds himself with so many dogs. And he said, there is a bear also, a wild boar in the place where he stays. You know, he's telling very casually, after we went there to stay, he's telling all these stories, right? So the animals are really live a very natural life. But that natural life has no value because Krishna is not involved. So for someone who has got a human form of life, to get back his natural status of life, one has to endeavor to break regulative principle. Just see, it is not an effort. You don't need to do anything. You automatically break the regulative principle. But to practice bhakti, to practice Krishna consciousness, it's such an effort, it's an exhausting effort. In our conditional stage of life, that to say no to Maya all the time, it's exhausting. Because we don't have much opportunity to say yes to Krishna. Yes to Krishna is nourishing. No to Maya is very exhausting. So Prahlad is teaching them slowly, slowly. And then Prahlad also explains that how the attachment takes place. The attachment takes place because of the bodily concept of life. When we develop bodily concept of life, then the attachment takes place, and because of that attachment, the animal propensity becomes more and more. Then Prahlad said, but if you take shelter of Krishna, which is very easy, and elsewhere Prabhupada explains, to perform sinful activity, you need to have resources. You have to work hard. To break four regulative principle, one has to really work very hard. But to chant Hare Krishna and to worship Krishna, you don't have to do anything. You don't need to have money. You don't need to have resources. You can easily chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then Prahlad also explains that how you can see Krishna. He says, Para Avareshu, in hellish planet, and in the heavenly planet also. He is not only speaking. See, when Prahlad speaks to his friend, he has already practiced it. Narad Muni spoke these qualities about Prahlad to Yudhishthira Maharaj, that sometime Prahlad would see Krishna and he would become very happy as if Prahlad is embracing the Lord. And sometime he would see Krishna disappear and he would cry in separation. You know, so Prahlad was already practicing this thing. Therefore, what he was speaking was not preaching. What he was speaking was, this is what you should do. For someone who is already doing this, to say to others with such a confidence is not a big deal. There is no hypocrisy in that. He's already doing it. So therefore, all the friends were so much amused. They said, hey, come on, you stayed with us all the time. You're son of a demon. Where did you learn this? Who taught you all this thing? Then Prahlad, with such innocency, you know, he does not hide facts. He knows if I tell this story, it will put Narad Muni in difficulty, in one sense. But he can't, because he's so innocent, he tells entire story, how his father had gone to perform tapasya in Mandara mountains. And the demigod seizing this opportunity, seeing that, okay, Hiranyakashipu is not there, and his wife is pregnant, and then we already have trouble with one demon. Then his son is coming. Then we are finished. So they kidnapped Kayadu. When they kidnapped Kayadu, they were waiting. You know, they were waiting. The demons were much better than the modern demons. They did not abort. Prabhupada writes in the 10th canto, Kamsa, you know, he waited for the child to be born. Right. See, we call it a civilized society, but in the uncivilized society, according to them, like sometimes how people comment, you know, someone commented about Mother Sita's submissiveness, chastity, willing to do and accept whatever Ram does. One feminist wrote, I can't stand this character of Sita. Disgusting. No. How can you be so submissive to someone who is so unreasonable to you? He said, the character of Sita is a black spot for the women. One should never ever think about Sita. Let's see. No, it's okay, people condemn Ram. But here she's condemning Sita for behaving nicely. Again, whose point of view? So here, Prabhupada explains that the demigods were waiting. Once the child is born, we will kill him. So they kidnapped, and my mother was crying like a kurari bird. And meanwhile, Narad Muni came without having any engagement. Without having any engagement means his engagement is only to save conditioned soul. If you have any other engagement other than engagement to preach Krishna consciousness, you can never preach Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he had no engagement. He was waiting. So he came there, and here Prabhupada explains, he just told the demigods, my dear demigod, this is not an ordinary soul. He is a Mahabhagavat devotee of the Lord, so therefore you don't touch him. So immediately the demigods, putting their faith in the words of Narad Muni, even though their experience was otherwise, a demon's son can never become a devotee. They could have asked logically, come on, this is unfair, this is not proper. What guarantees that he will become a devotee? He is surrounded by demons. The seed of powerful demon is there. But they had confidence in their guru's words. In fact, they circumambulated Kayadu's body, thinking they are circumambulating Prahlad. And they went away. Now, we see, was Prahlad Mahabhagavat in the womb? Or he became Mahabhagavat because Narad Muni said this? According to Prahlad himself, when Lord Narsingdev came, he killed Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad offered his prayers. Again, another interesting point here. You can't prove historically that why did Lord Narsingdev came? Because the Bhagavatam does not, the priority is not history. The priorities are feeling. Like, you know, I was telling a story that even though there is a statement, a clear statement, but how do you present that statement makes it right or wrong? One father, you know, he received a letter from his son who was studying in the hostel. And the father was illiterate. And the letter said that, my dear father, that I need money for this and this reason. And please send money as early as possible. It's an emergency. That was the content of the letter. Because since he didn't know how to read, he gave it to one of his neighbor, and he was a butcher. So butcher, when he read his letter, you know, butchers, unfortunately, because they're always in the business of killing, you know, they take pleasure in slaughtering. And naturally, if you are a killer, your words are also like that only. So the way the butcher read the letter sounded like the father was butchered by the son, demanding money. And the father became extremely angry. Then what does my son think about himself? He's ordering me. Let him go to hell, I will not send any money. Very angry, very upset. And he was going away from there. And he happened to meet a very civilized, very refined, a gentleman of a village. He could recognize the man is disturbed. He said, what happened? He said, what happened? What can I say? The children are so spoiled. My son has written this letter. He is demanding money from me. And there is no etiquette only. He said, let me see the letter. And this man read the letter. When this man read the letter, the same content, the same information is there. The same history is there. But in this letter, there was beseeching. There was pleading. There was begging. And the father almost had tears in his eyes. Okay, I need to send my money immediately. So therefore, our shastras, you can't catch them. Historically, you catch them according to the emotion. So here Narad Muni, when he said he's a pure devotee of the Lord, because in one sense, from Prahlad's point of view, Prahlad became pure devotee because it was a promise made by Narad Muni to the demigods. And Krishna had to make the promise of Narad Muni come true. And because of Narad Muni's promise, according to Prahlad, Lord Narasingdev came. And according to Narad Muni, in the seventh canto, when Lord Narasingdev is coming, he came. He came from that pillar. Now Narad Muni is narrating the story, but within the story, Narad Muni says, why Lord Narasingdev came? He becomes so excited. Satyam vidhato nije bhritta bhashitam. That's how he begins. Narad Muni said to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he could have said, you know, I preached to Prahlad and he became a great devotee. And actually I promised all the demigods. That's a historical fact. But such history shows the arrogance of Narad Muni if he would have done like that. But what he does, he becomes so excited. He said, Prahlad's words were there. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, when Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, and you say, your God is everywhere, is in this pillar? So Lord was telling Prahlad, okay, tell him, I am there. You tell him, tell him. Prahlad was being encouraged by Lord Narasingadev. The Lord was already there. And Prahlad said, yes. And in fact, even if you say that Prahlad was not been encouraged by Lord Narasingadev, the philosopher Prahlad was there to see God everywhere. He said, yes, my father, Lord is everywhere. Na kevalam bhavatashchu rajam savai balina balina cha paresha. He asked, where did you get your strength from? He said, I get my strength from the very source from where you get. So Prahlad could not see the contradiction. He could see Hiranyakashipu's strength is also coming from Lord Narasingdev only. Therefore, my strength is also coming from Lord Narasingdev. Therefore, he's everywhere. And Hiranyakashipu struck the pillar, and from there came out Lord Narasingadev. When Lord Narasingadev came, so Prahlad could see Krishna where Krishna was not there, and Hiranyakashipu could not see Krishna where Krishna was there. He is seeing Krishna, but he could not see Krishna. Prahlad was not seeing Krishna, but he is seeing Krishna. And what does Narad Muni say? Narad Muni gives all credit to Prahlad Maharaj. Satyam vidhatu, just to make the words of his devotee come true, Lord Narasingdev appeared from the pillar. So here the protection of Prahlad was not the important factor. The important factor is to make the words of Prahlad Maharaj come true, that I'm everywhere. Because that's what Prahlad was preaching all the time. If you study carefully, Prahlad was practicing Krishna everywhere. Prahlad was practicing, preaching Krishna everywhere. And Prahlad had the greatest danger of being slaughtered by his father, but still he did not give up his vision that Krishna is here also. He could see Krishna everywhere. And on the other hand, Hiranyakashipu, who was trained not to see Krishna everywhere, that was the conflict. The conflict is not of, you know, Hiranyakashipu is powerful and Prahlad is weak. For a devotee of the Lord, it is not the protection, the physical protection. Sometimes, most of the time while living in this material world, we may not get physical protection, especially from the present situation. Anytime the bomb may come, anytime the terrorist may attack, it could happen in the temple, and it could mostly happen in the temple only. So if it happens, one may say, why Krishna did not protect so many devotees? If we are seeking for that protection, but that is not an important quality of the Lord, to protect our physical body. What Prahlad was being protected was not his physical body. That was already happening. Without Lord Narasingdev coming, you know, Lord was doing it. When he was thrown from the mountain top, Prahlad was protected. When he was given poison, he was protected. When he was trampled underneath the elephant, he was protected. Lord was not there. There was no need for him to be there. But what protected, what Krishna protected, is Prahlad's vision, Prahlad's confidence, Prahlad's understanding that God is everywhere. I can see Krishna everywhere. No, I can't see a place where Krishna is not there. Someone was saying that when Socrates, he drank poison, he knew Atma Tattva, that I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul. So when he drank poison, he said, you can't kill me. To kill me, you have to catch me first. Prabhupada said he is Brahmavadi. But here, why Prahlad was protected? Because when Prahlad drank the poison, he was not only practicing Atma Gyan, but he was practicing that how to see, nectar in poison also. So therefore, that poison turned into a nectar. Like Ramanujacharya, when the local pujaris standing inside the altar, you can imagine again. He's standing inside the altar, Ranganath's temple. He was asked, you feed poison in the form of Charanamrit. He is giving Charanamrit, but it is not Charanamrit, it is poison to kill Ramanujacharya. When Ramanujacharya extended his hand, and he could see the face of Pujari, it was not the face of a Brahmana, it was the face of a hypocrite. So he said, what are you giving me? Is it poison or Charanamrit? He was shaking. He could immediately expose that he is actually not giving Charanamrit, he is giving poison. But he blurted out, it is Charanamrit. Okay, you are giving me Charanamrit, I am taking Charanamrit. It has to have the effect of Charanamrit. So Ramanujacharya did not bring a dog, okay, smell it. He had a greater faith. He said, if it is poison, but if he is giving as Charanamrit, I will drink it as Charanamrit, and it acted as Charanamrit. For us, if we fake, we know it is Charanamrit. He said, no, if it is poison, he said, I will drink because it is Krishna Charanamrit, we will die. Because you can't imitate what Ramanujacharya did. Somebody asked this question, that come on, Agni's propensity is to burn, whether you are chaste or unchaste. What is the nature of fire? Nature of fire is to burn. Therefore, Sita being tested by Ram, entering into the fire, it is unreasonable and illogical. The nature of fire is to burn. But the example, the answer is given. But you have to see, Agni Pariksha was not the call of Ram. He didn't say, let her be tested by fire. It was Sita only. And why she did it? Her confidence was there because before also, when Hanumanji was burnt, his tail was burnt, she prayed that if she was chaste, if she was loyal, and if she has any spiritual credits, then let this fire not burn Hanumanji. And it acted like that. So she already had the experience. Now her chastity will be proved. If she is not chaste to Lord Ram, it is not that she had some mystical power that, anything comes in contact with Sita, whatever she is, the fire will not burn. She was putting her loyalty to test. And she had that experience. And therefore she could do it, but I should not do it. Sometime in the villages of India, we have heard because of hearing Ramayana story, many men have tried, and they have told their wife to go through this test, knowing very well that they are nowhere close to Ram. They are almost close to Ravan only. And they wanted their wife to be Sita. And what happened? Naturally, whether she was chaste or not, even she was, she will burn to death. He became a murderer, and then they had to go to the police lockup. So therefore, we see that here Prahlad had such a consciousness, he had practiced this. He said, Krishna is everywhere. I cannot give up that vision. And Lord Narasimhadev came from the pillar. And that's what Narad Muni says, that to make the words of Prahlad come true, what's his word? That Krishna is everywhere. That's what I felt in my reading of this canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Prahlad did not seek material protection. Prahlad did not seek Lord Narasimha to come to protect his physical body. Prahlad was practicing that I want to practice this philosophy, that I want to see Krishna everywhere. Even if I need to die, in death also I need to see Krishna. And that is Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj, when he was cursed by that Brahmana, instantly, as a Kshatriya, they are very defensive. Kshatriyas always, they have that power of defending. But here Parikshit had gone beyond being a Kshatriya. He was already a pure Vaishnava taking the role of a Kshatriya. But now here he went beyond being a Kshatriya. And he could say, I can see the Lord is so kind to me. I could have not taken his shelter by any other means other than this way. Therefore, the Lord has come in the form of curse. Dvijashaparupa. He could see that. Parikshit Maharaj could see Krishna in the form of curse. And Prahlad was constantly practicing this philosophy. And therefore, when Lord Narsingdev came, Narad Muni says, wow, it is to make the words of Prahlad come true. Lord Narsingdev came. Killing was simply a detail. And Hiranyakashipu is proving his point. He saw Lord Narsingdev. He said, what is this animal? He could not see Krishna. So that was the conflict. In this conflict, Hiranyakashipu was victorious that he could not see Krishna, and Prahlad was victorious. But the real victory was Prahlad's victory. And then Lord Narsingdev, when he was benedicting Prahlad Maharaj, how did he benedict? The benediction was that you continue to rule your father's kingdom. Again, keeping me in the center. The material world will not affect you. Prahlad feared that material world will affect. Why? Because I come from the demons. But Lord Narsingdev assured that the material world will not affect you, even though you take a position, even though you take power, even though you take a lot of responsibility, even though you get a lot of opulences to rule as the king. Just imagine being the king of the demons. Therefore, nothing, if it is used in Krishna's service, is disadvantageous. If Prahlad can become the king of the universe, of the demons, one can also use politics in Krishna's service. We see in the Bhagavatam, dharma going into the politics is very important. But politics should not come in dharma. That is dangerous. So here Prahlad Maharaj is such an example that, you know, he is able to see Krishna everywhere. And that's what we glorify Lord Narsingdev. Ito Narsinga, Parato Narsinga, Yato Yato Yami, Tato Narsinga. Bahir Narsinga, Hruday Narsinga. Somebody asked Prabhupada, you know, why your deities are not facing eastern direction? They should. If you have the choice, if the rituals are allowed to be practiced in a place. But if there is no place, somewhere you keep Krishna. Because all directions are controlled by Krishna, ultimately. So then Prabhupada chanted this verse. Ito Narsinga, Paroto Narsinga, Yato Yato Yamai Narsinga. Wherever Krishna is in all the directions. So therefore, when we understand this concept, which Prahlad Maharaj practiced, this is the essence of Prahlad's teaching. This is the essence of Lord Narsingdev's appearance. Not to protect his physical body. In Kali Yuga, we can't. Not only the bomb scare. The cancer scare is much worse than the bomb scare. Suddenly somebody gets cancer. And within no time, he's killed. Being a devotee also. And if you question, how can Krishna do like this? He was a devotee and he was skilled. No, this is not. This is unfair on our part. Because we have chosen to live in a life which is unfriendly. You want to live a material life. Now what to speak of Krishna conscious life? And if you are able to practice Krishna consciousness, but the effect of material life will come. That will not go. Even if a devotee eats lot of chemical and a non-devotee eats lot of chemical, it is not that because a devotee is eating a lot of chemical he will not get cancer. He will get cancer, but he will get some realization. A non-devotee will not get realization. That's the difference. So therefore, on this most auspicious occasion of Lord Narsingdev's appearance, which will be narrated with great style by Braj Bihari Prabhu in the evening, he is going to cover the entire chapters of, from the first chapter to the last chapter, you know, as fast as possible. He has been given only 1 hour by Valdeva Prabhu to speak. So that's a challenge, to see Krishna within 1 hour. Sometimes I said, no, I need 15 more minutes. No, if you can see Krishna within 1 hour, you can see Prabhupada spoke only for 20 minutes. And he presented Krishna within 20 minutes to nice people. And some devotees need 3 hours to present Krishna. And they also do a good job. Depends upon who you are and what is your authority to speak about Krishna and present Krishna. So here, the story of Prahlad is so wonderful. And we should pray to Prahlad Maharaj that we can have this vision. I can see Krishna and devotees at least. What to speak of seeing Krishna in the demons? If we can become expert
In seeing Krishna in my fellow devotee, whatever is happening, whatever is coming from this devotee is also Krishna only. If we become expert in that art, that is sufficient for us to go back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj ki, Narsingh Bhagwan ki, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.